this special meeting to order. One second, I just got. Are there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? None noted. Okay, if we can move on to 3.1. Frank?
Good evening. We have a proposed application for official plan amendment and a zoning bylaw amendment. The subject lands are located north of Simcoe Street between Pacific Avenue and Martin Crescent. Just going to give a bit of a background on the application. The applicant is, the current designation of lands is low-density residential and official plan and zoned residential second density R2. The proponent has proposed to develop a 49-unit subdivision containing a mix of 70 cash dwellings and 3-unit townhomes. He's proposing 7 3-unit townhomes and 13 semi-detached dwellings. Yeah, the purpose of the official plan amendment is to redesignate the lands as medium-density residential. The reason of this is that the low-density residential does not permit 3-unit townhomes. I do want to mention, you know, we have had some concerns on this. The application is a little bit misleading in calling it medium-density residential because currently low-density allows up to a maximum of 22 units per hectare, and medium density allows a maximum of 70 units per hectare. The applicant is proposing 14.4 units per hectare, so he's still, well within the low density and not escalating into anything that, into the much higher density. The corresponding zoning bylaw amendment would rezone the property from the R2 zone to a R2 zone, which would allow a reduced interior side yard setback from 3 meters to 1.5 meters, and an exterior side yard width from 6 meters to 3 meters. Okay. Some of the next steps, we are looking at getting some public comments and preparing a summary for council to either adopt, reject, or bring it back at a future council meeting. OP amendment, the zoning is supported at a later date. The applicant would be required to complete a draft plan of subdivision and get final approval from the County of Essex. Some things that I do want to mention, obviously, we've had some public concerns on the way it's worded as medium density. You know, there was some talks about, this going to explode to the full 70 units per hectare, where the applicant is only proposing under the 15 units per hectare. So we will be coming back with some options. We're looking at some options of wording where we can limit it to where the development is as proposed in the application and well within the low density residential. This way it kind of fits in with the surroundings. Off the top of my head, some of the options would be to approve it with something site specific where you are limiting the units per hectare, or you could even recirculate it, leaving it low density residential, but permitting the up to those 7 tri-units. I just wanted to, if anybody has any further questions or they want to be notified of any upcoming meetings, please sign in and we'll keep in contact with you.
Thank you. Is there any comments from the public right now?
Sure.
Would you like to come to the mic, please? State your name and address.
Alan Piper, I live at...
There we go.
Okay. Alan Piper, I live at 26 Martin Crescent. I've only been there a couple years. We moved there from two streets over, which was a little higher density, for the sheer fact that it was a low density area. The biggest concern that I know that I have, and some of my neighbors, we've talked about it, is exactly what was brought up, which is Yes, he's proposing certain numbers now, but after this zoning has changed, there could be nothing to stop him from suddenly just bumping it up to the maximum that we're going to allow. I don't see, we have no problem with the buildings in the area. Room, there certainly is room there. It's idle, it's not really used as a common park area or anything. It's pretty much unused right now. It's just simply a matter of what will be going there. That seems to be the biggest concern for us on Martin. We like our quiet street. The homes there are a little higher in terms of property value compared to some of the surrounding areas. And with this higher density residential, we're concerned that what's going to happen is you're going to end up with a lot of geared to income, which will drive our property values down. I've only moved there 2 years ago, paid a substantial increase because of the way the market is, just to see that money gone 2 years later because of what could basically be a housing project going in there. We've been seeing quite an influx from what I've been witnessing myself. I've been seeing quite an influx of geared to income tenants coming from the Windsor area to Amesburg. I don't know why they're being basically dumped on our doorstep. That is the impression that we're getting. And I feel like this may just be a destination for those exact people, which is a concern. Thank you.
I'll address one of your comments and then I'll have Frank. This area is not being dumped on. I sit on the Windsor Essex Community Housing Board, and there's a 5,000 per people waiting list across the county. Amherstburg has the same problem as Windsor, as many municipalities. We have a shortage of geared to income housing, shortage of housing, affordable housing. So it's not, Amherstburg's not being dumped. And I don't know if, Frank, you have a response to the gentleman?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, through obviously a lot of the provincial policy and kind of the provincial mandates out there, it is to provide fixed density of housing in the communities out there, whether that be in the form of townhomes or semi-detached dwellings. It is something that is being heavily promoted through the province.
Further to that, your acting worship, I think what residents of Amesburg need to consider, as well as why are options that are being provided for housing now semi-detached and townhome developments? That's what's being proposed here. That's in the draft plan of subdivision. The reality of it is it's escalating costs. It's escalating costs, and as the planner has mentioned, this proposed development is still well below the medium density. It's actually in the low density. It's just the way our wording has been affected in our zoning. So we will look at that, definitely. We've taken your comment to note, but I think a lot of folks need to also understand the affordable housing strategy that the province is going to be mandating. The province, as a matter of right now, allows a number of single family home occupants. So if you're all in a single family home, everyone's allowed for one secondary unit. That's the reality of what's been passed in the Planning Act. The municipality has really no control over that. What you're going to see happening in the very near future, and we've talked about it extensively here at the municipality, is because of this affordable housing strategy and the crisis, we presently, believe it or not, have 843 people waiting for affordable housing here in Amesburg. And that's something that needs to be addressed. But definitely I can say to you, based on what I see here, I do not see it as an affordable housing development. It is what I see as a market development, recognizing what the market is looking for. Semi-detaches and townhouses, I can say to you, we have all seen the development that has gone up at the corner of Melosh and Simcoe. Semi-detached units there are going well over $300,000 now, and some even higher. The average price of a home in Windsor Essex County has gone to, I believe, $343,000. So I think we need to be cognizant of the fact that affordable housing is not what people think it used to be. It's something totally different. And I can't speak for the developer. I know if the speak on that issue himself. I can only speak on what the current market conditions are, what the province has enacted in legislation, and where I see things going. But rest assured, you're going to see some changes in all of our communities, especially here in Amherstburg as well. But I don't think it's an issue of Windsor being dumped on in Amherstburg. I just think it's an issue of affordable housing and making accommodations for people to have access to housing that they can afford. And especially as we have an aging population, it's going to be even more important to do that.
Is there anybody else? Sorry. Anybody else from the public would like to speak?
Hello, everybody. Stephen Deschamps. I as well live on Martin Crescent, 39. Just two points that I just want to bring out is with the increase of population as well as construction in that area. Currently, right now, I can only speak for myself. I don't have to deal with any flooding, but whenever you remove grass and other things that absorb water, there is always a potential for flooding down the road. So are we prepared in terms of this developer to ensure that there's proper drainage, proper sewage systems in order for us not to be impacted on Martin Crescent from any potential changes to this project? That's my first note. And then the second note is behind our house is there's a nesting area for birds. And in the Rivertown Times, it's been mentioned earlier this year that a lot of birds are missing now from our community, and this is a specific nesting area. So I was just wondering if there's been an environmental assessment done for these birds, the impact to them, and the migration that will possibly impact. Thanks.
Frank?
I just want to mention that this would just put the OP and zoning in place. A plan of subdivision would be required. That would require consultation with IRCA. It would require stormwater management plan before any development is completed. So, you know, anything to do with drainage and EIA or even potentially traffic impacts could be dealt with during the plan of subdivision phase.
Is there somebody else?
No, Al Patterson on Pacific. I basically got the same comments as everybody else, but these setbacks for the fire department, police, or anything else, they're no good. Village of Riverside is a good example, which goes back probably 50 years ago, and it's putting too many things in a small space. There's other areas around here I feel that are available. You got to have some open space. Traffic is another one. Just the property values. The news media today stated that you're going to be putting geared-to-income people in here. That's the value of your property is going to decrease. Any realtor will tell you that. So that's about all I've got to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Steve Sally here, I live on Martin Crescent as well. So your name for the developer?
Frank.
So obviously living around the neighborhood being impacted by this, it creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear because of the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. So I think moving forward, maybe we as residents can maybe be informed from the developer about what's happening, what's going in, possibly pictures, like the picture that was on the PowerPoint was just a proposed development. I think if they could share that, that would be helpful because there's uncertainty that creates fear and anxiety. And as you can hear already, there's already assumption that there's going to be your income when you're being assured that there isn't. I encourage development. I think it's good for the economy. But having said that, there is a negative effect. There could be some negative impact. But essentially, as long as we're informed either from you guys or from the developer, just to kind of make sure that we know what's happening, that we're not misinformed, and we're not here, accusing the developer or maybe accusing you guys of things that are not true or accurate.
And thank you. And this information is available now, and there will be another public meeting down the road as well, that to address more concerns. So I'll just leave it at that for now, and I believe the developer would like to speak.
Yeah, just to
thoughts, I think it will solve a lot of the problems real quickly. First of all, I don't know where your income idea came from, that has nothing to do with us. My dad's owned this property for over 20 years. We've been a long time in the process of finally doing something with it. We're zoned R2, so we could actually put 56 semi-detached homes in, homes there without changing anything. We don't want to do that. We actually see the market in a different way out there. We think there's a market for a larger townhome, and that's what we're proposing. I'm going to hand all of you, one of these sheets after, and it'll show you. This is just a rendition of what they're going to look at. I don't know if it's going to look exactly like that. Maybe not the red doors. So, but these are, our smallest unit is going to be 1,300 square feet with a two-car garage. That's our smallest unit. We only have, we have 1,300 square foot townhomes. So when you compare them to townhomes at Gulfview, or this is what they're going to look like. Not like, they'll be bigger than the ones on the corner. Those are one-car garage, 1,250 square foot units on smaller plots. They'll be more in line with Gulfview townhomes that you see out there, or the ones across from Jim Hortons on Park. Okay, so we're actually proposing less units than what we could actually get if we wanted to just stay with the R2 and not change anything, which is approximately 56. We're going with 49 units because we actually want to build a bigger unit, and we actually have less site coverage than what we're allowed, because somebody can correct me, I think it's 60% site coverage for most townhomes and semis. Our highest one is 56%. If anybody wants to see any of this stuff afterwards, I'm going to wait and you can come talk to me. We actually are only from 30-some% lot coverage to 50 in the middle of 50. We never go to 60 on any. And the reason we wanted some of the threes, we have 7 threes, all the rest are twos, is because there's a market for those interior units. They're a little less money, but our lowest price unit is going to be like 350 grand. So our prices are going to be from 350 to 450. And it couldn't be higher than that. Now, you may say, well, that seems like a lot for a town. No, it's not. If you look at what's selling, the one car, 1250, they're selling right now. I just sold them myself, and it was 330,000. So these are much bigger than that, less coverage. And another thing that wasn't brought up, and I'll bring it up because Frank brought it up to me, was parking. Every unit has two car garages. No one car garages. They're all twos. Even the middle units are twos. So there's at least 4 parking spots in front of your actual unit. So, because I know how when you go down the one, you see the semis with the one cars, it's like one car, one spot, nowhere on the road. So it's not going to be like that. That's not what my dad wanted to do here. Actually wants to be a little bit, but a little more upper scale. We think there's a market for that in that part of town. We think if you're worried about the values of your properties, I'm a realtor, you have, what we're going to build back there is not going to lessen the value of your property. I understand that the people that live there have nothing behind them for all these years, but I'm the one back there been cutting the grass and trying to keep it going, and now it's time to develop. There's a market for this product, in my opinion. And it's going to be a higher end product. You're not going to look in your backyard. All our products are going to have covered rear rent porches. Like, I'm trying to give you an example. I don't know, if you wanted to drive by the new ones on Gulfview, they're going to be kind of like that. Only there actually be space up a little bit more. We're not covering as much lot as there. If you look at our cul-de-sac lots, they're huge. Like, for semi-detached townhomes, like, those are big lots. Our ones on this side of the street are big. The only ones that are smaller and they're still not 60% lot coverage are the threes. And we just wanted that so we had a little bit of variety of cost. So we had some 1,300. The end units on the threes are 1,500 square feet. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if that explained my end of it. But if any of the residents want to talk to me or want one of my handles, I'm glad to give you the plan. What we're going to do, we're not changing it. We're only going to the medium density thing. It's kind of a fallacy. We're actually building less. Less units, not more units. So we're not going higher. We're going less than what we could do if we just left it alone. So.
Okay. 1 second, yep. Mr. Shaw. Councillor.
Just a question. I understand everything that you're saying here. But there is puzzling phenomena in here. It says, further, an amendment to section 10, sub 3, paragraph D is also required to permit a reduced interior interior side yard setback from 3 meters to 1.5 meters in section 10.3E to permit a reduced exterior side yard setback from 6 meters to 3 meters. You are putting the houses very close together. You know, in order to do this, you're changing the side yard and the rear setbacks.
Well, can I speak to that?
I know you could probably fit more houses in here, but I don't see how you could. I think what's causing the problem is the road down the middle. Am I right? It's the road down the middle.
I don't know. I'm not an engineer. I don't know the answer to that one.
I asked that question, and then the next is the, and you're going to have to address the people because we're not making any decision today. But I did note the, let me just get the right direction here, I guess it would be the east side where the homes seem to be very tight. They're not on big lots, they're tight.
The three unit townhomes.
Three unit townhomes. They don't appear to have any front or backyard.
Can you pull that back up? I don't know where you're getting that. Here, I'll give you a diagram.
Well, I have it here.
Well, he'll
pull it up and the whole place can see it.
There's a lot. There's the backyard and the front yard.
Back there? These are the other houses.
Right.
Yeah, so there's the backyard.
This is the lot coverage here.
Yeah.
There's the front, there's the back, these are driveways, that's back here.
Yes.
I'm not sure. I mean, there's no back there. We wouldn't be able to sell them if we didn't have that.
Well,
I wouldn't want to buy them.
Well, I mean, in comparison to the ones on the other side of the street, they're very small lots.
Well, tries usually are on a smaller parcel, typically. I don't know. The rear yard in those, on mine, is bigger than Gulfview, bigger than Riverfront. My side yards are the same, and the 1.5 meter thing is weird to me anyway, because that's 5 feet, so that's 10 feet in between each product, so I don't know. I don't even know why that has to be reduced. I don't know why it would be a different.
I'm just asking these questions now. We're not making any decision tonight, but I'm just asking. And I'm sure some of the neighbors will wonder what's going on too, so.
As I said, I've got information from it. It'll probably help more a lot with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Dave Dale Dunn from Martin Crescent. When I look at this, and I look out my backyard from Martin Crescent, all around this whole property are single detached homes with decent sized lots, decent sized houses on. And as this gentleman mentioned, when you look at this, you see all this crowded together, these three unit townhouses all along our backyards, which definitely makes an impact on our property as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to see, I don't understand why he's wanting to change it from R2 to R3 when he keeps saying, I can do all this with the zoning the way it is. So that's one problem that I have listening to all this. But I still think it would impact, it crowds in a whole bunch of homes. There's 30 homes on Martin Crescent, and he's putting in a little less area, 49 homes. And I think it's too many.
And thank you. Any other questions from the public? Any questions from the councilors? Councilor Pruitt.
Just a question to staff. I mean, and I already know the answer, but I want everybody here to know it too. When this comes back to us, we make a recommendation and we send it off to the county. The county makes the decision, not us. Is that correct?
No,
it's a plan of subdivision.
No. We make the decision. This is just to put the OPM zoning in place.
Yes.
It's the first step. People
yes.
still have to come forward with another plan of subdivision application, which would have to come back to council for approval before it goes to the county.
Yes, but the county is the ultimate decision maker because this is a plan of subdivision, which is not made by the municipality. It's made by the county.
Yes, when he comes forward with the plan of subdivision, yes.
Okay. So the final decision will be made by them. That's the first question. The second question is, putting the street down the middle in this application severely limits the size of the lots.
Mm-hmm.
the street was on one side or the other, and the lots could be much larger. I don't know whether you put as many houses in it, but certainly might assuage some of the fears here. Is obviously this is what the developer wants to do. Is it what the town sees as the best option?
Acting worship. Again, we're in the position of processing an application. I can't say that I've seen developers bring subdivision plans that minimize the number of homes they get.
Yeah.
You know, and that's business. They're the ones who put the risk out there, and they're the ones who take the risk and try to reap whatever reward there is based on the market conditions. I can say for long plots of land like this, I've always seen a cul-de-sac, which this is, I would say, a modified cul-de-sac. You put it on one side, you may have neighbors saying they don't want a street in their backyard either. So, I mean, you do, the homes on the sides act as a buffer any way you look at it. And I think, to address an earlier point, with the density that's allowed here, you could cram a lot more duplexes on there and have probably a higher density with more units. And I think from what the developer was saying, that it's just a market choice that's being made here to try to buy, fund some choice within a certain subdivision, albeit a small subdivision. So we don't get into the business of dictating where the roads, their road layout goes, only in the sense that we make sure they're safe. We ask for traffic studies to have a developer engage a traffic expert to tell us that, to make sure that we're satisfied, and to address other issues that have come up in the past. And as we know, there's been parking issues for some other developments. There's been different layouts of roads that have changed slightly. But in terms of saying, well, put the road here because I want you to have larger lots, that's not really something that we do. Having said that, we process the application, we take the comments, we will bring the comments back, and you're quite right, Councillor, this is going to go to the county for an ultimate decision, and they will have to make sure that it goes through their filter in terms of their official plan, in terms of all of those things, and making sure that this decision is consistent with other decisions in other neighboring or adjacent municipalities of the county.
Okay, that's all fine. The statement was made that each one will have a two-car garage, but the way I see this configured on the street, I think it is virtually impossible, except for one small area on Mulberry itself, for there to be any street parking. Because I think it's almost impossible. Everything would have a driveway. There would be no street parking, except perhaps, if I can get this large enough to see it, or if I can squint, in block 15 and block 19 on Mulberry Court, there may be room for one or two cars. That would be the only, that would be the limit of street parking. Is that a given?
Yeah, my response to that is, under the zoning bylaw, he is required to have the two parking spaces there per unit.
Yes.
And it's his responsibility when it comes to the draft plan subdivision to provide that. We're not giving him any relief in this zoning bylaw.
I understand that, but if you build this and these 47 people have a guest, where are the guests going to park? I'm just asking this question up front because I know this is all going to happen later. Where are they going to park if it's built like this? They're going to have to go up onto these other streets, I assume.
Council approved.
Yeah, I know.
There's two garages that they'll probably park in.
But they're all driveways.
They're all private.
They're all driveways. Are there not garages on these properties?
They all have two cars.
They have two car garages.
You can't park in front of the driveway.
You can't park in front of the driveway.
But if the residents park inside their garage,
yeah,
it allows for guests to park in the driveway.
If that's the answer, but it doesn't look like there's going to be any street parking. And I'm just trying to get this down. And if there isn't, just to say so, and then we'll work on it.
Again, through you, Acting Worship. I think on the one side, I think when I look at the plan, although this is very preliminary, it looks like it would be difficult in terms of launching parking. two, and then another room for basically four vehicles for a 1300 or 1500 square unit, times as many as you have down there. And I would think again that if you had a visitor and they would tell you that, then you would make arrangements to either try to get a spot on the other side or park somewhere else. Now, having said that, on the east side, I think we'd have to wait to see the actual plan. And that may be something that makes it a market decision for the developer to say, I might want to change some of this to provide a little bit more because my clients want it.
That's the only reason I'm asking it now, okay, because we're making no decision today. That's correct. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Council, no questions? Can I get a motion?
Sorry, is it okay if I talk? Sorry,
I'm sorry, I didn't see you come up to that. Okay.
Sorry, I'm just going to follow up to Mr. Prue's comments. So if I were just doing calculations that if every person were to get two cars, that you're looking at almost 100 cars that you're adding on to Simcoe in terms of traffic-wise. And then the second part of it, making the assumption that everybody's not going to be able, that everybody's going to park in their garage is inaccurate, because with how the size of these lots, how many people can actually put a shed for a lawnmower, weed whacker, and other things that you need to potentially store. So just from that perspective, I wouldn't necessarily guarantee that everybody is going to be using their garage in that aspect in terms of parking cars. And then if you actually were to go to the four limit, then you're almost looking at close to 200 cars. Just something to consider.
Thank you. Okay, there's a motion called and Councilor Prue.
I'll move the recommendations.
Yeah. Yes, seconder. Councilor Reynolds. On the motion, all in favor? And that carries. Motion to adjourn. Councilor Courtney. Seconded. Somebody seconded. Councilor MacArthur. All in favor? And that carries. We'll resume at 6 o'clock.